The X Zone radio and TV show is largely an opinion talk show. All opinions, comments, or statements of fact expressed by Rob McConnell's guests are strictly their own and are not to be construed as those of the X Zone radio and TV show or in any manner endorsed by Rob McConnell, Relmar McConnell Media Company, Talkstar Radio Network, its affiliated stations, or employees.
Welcome to the X Zone, a place where fact is fiction and fiction is reality. Now, here's your host, Rob McConnell.
And welcome back to the X Zone, everyone. My name is Rob McConnell. You're listening to the X Zone on the Talkstar Radio Network and our fine family of broadcast affiliates across Canada, the United States, Central America, the Caribbean, South America, the Pacific Rim, Asia, and Europe, and the rest of the world on TalkstarRadio.com streaming audio. My producer is my good buddy Superman. He is at Master Control, and he is the gentleman responsible for putting us up on those three satellites, so that you, the XO Nation, no matter where you are, can listen to this show. My guest this hour is James Gilliland, and after a near-death experience brought about by drowning, James could no longer continue business as usual. His eyes were fully opened, and he saw the lack of love and joy in his life and his work. Success through material acquisition, the American dream in quotations, was now seen for its emptiness. He realized that the temporary joy and pleasure possessions and outer appearances brought were not the goal, and began his own inward journey after experiencing the pure conditional love and joy, bliss of connecting directly to the source during his near-death experience. All that mattered was to reconnect and maintain that contact. This began a spiritual journey and 20-year quest, which included 6 years of yoga, the Inner Christ Ministry, and the Tibetan Foundation, where he was certified as being an intuitive visionary of the highest consciousness and energy. He has studied with other yogis, lamas, master teachers, and continually has been taught from within through his extensive practicing of meditation. He is a teacher, spiritual counselor, energetic healer, and published author, Becoming Gods 1 and 2, which can be sent upon request. He has recently been honored by a venerated teacher in the Lama traditions as, boy, here we go, Rizding Norbu, which translates means jewel of pure awareness. After his near-death experience, James received the gift of interdimensional mind and the ability to transfer powerful consciousness and energy to others, helping them in their own awakening and healing process. He is a published author, master teacher, and energetic healer. His over 20 years of experiencing, as I said, included 6 years of yoga, teaching of the Inner Christ Ministry and Tibetan Foundation, where he was certified as a conscious channel of the highest consciousness and energy. And joining us now is James Gilliland. And hi, James, how are you? Long time no talk. I hope you're well.
Oh, doing well.
So
working on healing myself right now.
Oh, is that like Dr. Heal Thyself?
Yeah, exactly. You know, when you get in this business for a long time, you know, it starts kind of creeping up on you, and then you just have to take a sabbatical and just, you know, pull away for a little while and take care of your own business.
Yeah, I you know, like, it's people like yourself that I've talked to over the years say what you have to do sometimes is just unplug.
Exactly.
because it is a drain, because you're always working with people, you're always using your energy to help them, that your batteries wear down.
Yeah, they do. After a while, it seems like there's always some residual, no matter, when you work with that many people, there's always like a residual energy that you carry, and then you have to, you know, do your own time, downtime, and ferret that out and clear it out of your own system.
James, a quick question before we go to our two-minute commercial break. Have you seen an increase in spirituality and inner consciousness in the last 5 years?
I think there's been a phenomenal increase.
Yeah.
The veils are getting very thin right now. And you know, with all the shadow people and the orbs and all these other things that people are experiencing, that's all part of this awakening healing process that we're undergoing right now. And people have different names for it. They call it the shift, the quickening. But definitely we're going through a frequency shift, and the veils between worlds are getting very thin right now.
Let's talk more about this when we come back in 2 minutes. James Gilliland is our very special guest. And James' website is www.eceti.org. And James and I will be back after this two-minute commercial break as we continue live and around the world right here on the Talkstar Radio Network from Hamilton, Ontario, Canada. Don't go away. 2 minutes. We'll be back.
Climb a mountain, some men swim the sea, some men fly above the sky, they are what they must be. But baby, the rain must fall, baby, the wind must blow, wherever my heart leads me. Baby, I must go. Baby, I must go. I do not love.
Welcome back, everyone. Don't forget the X Zone Book Club will be starting very soon, later on this weekend, and up until the middle of next week, we'll be working on that website, and we will tell you when it is up and running. The first book that we've decided for the opening of the book club is Color Me Butterfly by L.Y. Marlowe. And the book is available on Amazon.com and available at all major bookstores. And if you'd like to visit the website, it's www.colormebutterfly.com. James Gilliland is our special guest. And James, before we went to the break, we were briefly talking about the spiritual revolution that we have going on. And you were talking about more people are seeing the shadow people and orbs. And what is the connection here, James?
You know, we've done a lot of research on orbs, and I work a lot with, you know who Michal Ledwith is? He actually wrote a book on orbs, and they have a new movie called Orbs, The Veil is Lifting, and I'm one of the key people in that movie as well. But they're actually light beings, and a lot of times people don't realize when you leave this body, you actually pop out through the crown as a light sphere, and, you know, you go have your review and all the, depends on your level of evolution when you leave the body. But what I've seen with these light spheres, we've been taking pictures of every color, everything imaginable, you know, ornate patterns in these spheres, and we're also getting interaction with them. So a good one is I was out in the field, and there's just wall-to-wall light spheres all around us. And so I picked up, you know, those dandelion puffballs, and I put it on the back of my head, you know, and I said, here's my orb antenna. So this one orb just comes right over my face with this antenna sticking up. And then so I pulled two up, and I stuck them in my head, and I said, this is my Mickey, my Martian, you know, my Mickey Mouse Martian antenna or whatever.
Well, you could have just said nanu nanu.
Yeah, and another one appeared right above my head, and it had two little ears on it. Two little orbs on each side, exactly where I was holding the other two, and mimicked exactly what we're doing. So
they were communicating with you.
Oh, definitely. They definitely communicate. If you get quiet and listen, you know, they have a consciousness, and you can attune to them and actually receive messages. A lot of times that's why they're there.
Now, James, where do they come from? What is their mission?
Well, what I found out is that it's not just one thing. It's like almost everything we're experiencing, everybody wants to pigeonhole, you know, it's like the UFO thing. Everybody thinks it's this or that. But the orbs, there's so many aspects to them. Some are just nature spirits. Some are discarnate animals. Some are discarnate humans. We've seen grand masters' faces appear in these orbs. And some of them are off-worlders as well. They're extremely advanced beings that just don't have a body, you might say.
Are they interdimensional? Where do they go when we're not seeing them?
They're just outside of this dimension. A lot of them are in the infrared or the ultraviolet range, and that's where we're getting them on cameras. You know, a lot of your digitals will pick up more of the light spectrum than your eyes can see, and mm-hmm. so the digital cameras will catch them. And, you know, a lot of people are trying to debunk these, saying, oh, I threw up sand or I threw up flour or things like that. But, you know, the problem is we're getting these, you know, down in basements. We're seeing them half in and out of, you know, iron beams coming through cement walls. They seem to be, you know, they can move through anything. And there's before and after where there's nothing and nobody's moved. And you take another shot when you invoke them and they're just everywhere. So they would have to be, you know, if it was water spots, it would have to be on the next frame. You know, you wouldn't have one frame with nothing mm-hmm. and the next frame with just wall-to-wall orbs. So they do interact with people.
Now, is there any special atmospheric condition that makes viewing orbs more plentiful than at other times?
You know, I've seen, I think it's more of a spiritual atmosphere, or the consciousness of the group is what I've seen. We've had kids come out and, you know, they didn't really believe in it. And once we said, okay, go out, stand in the field and just focus on love and joy and bliss and send it out and invite them in. So they did. We took a picture of them, and then we showed them the picture of all these orbs around them. And we did a before picture before they did anything, and there was nothing there. And then we showed them the orbs. Then they get all excited, and they go back out in the field, and they get, you know, real joyful and excited. And we take another picture, and the whole field is wall-to-wall orbs. You know, so it has a lot to do with the consciousness involved. If you have somebody that's real negative or real skeptical, they're real down, or they can actually kill the energy. And I've seen people clear a field just with their energies because they're really coming from an ego or too much negativity, you might say.
James, is there a connection between orbs and crop circles?
There is, in a sense that the crop circles are actually created by ships. Those are by some extremely advanced ultra-dimensional beings. And they actually send a light sphere down, which is more like a probe. And in it is programmed. The circle is actually programmed into the light sphere. And you'll see them come down. And they move really fast over the field, and then the crop circle just lays down immediately. And I've talked about this for years, and people go, oh, no, it's this, no, it's that. And they finally got footage of that actually happening. There's footage of these light spheres moving over a field, and then the pattern just lays out almost immediately.
I was just talking to Keith Chester prior to you coming on. He's written a book called Strange Company, Military Encounters with UFOs in WW2. Mm-hmm. And we were talking about Foo Fighters.
Yes.
Is it possible, and this is a long shot, I was just thinking as you were talking about the orbs, is it possible that the Foo Fighters, the round balls of light that were seen around Allied as well as enemy aircraft, could these be orbs?
No, those are actually craft that have powered up. And what they've done is they've gone from, it depends on which kind of craft it is, but when they power up, they go from a physical ship to a non-physical reality, and they're more like a big energy ball, you might say, when they see them. And they don't really see, when they're powered up, they're pretty much invincible. There's not much you can do, you know, once they're powered up. You can't really shoot a light down, you know, so.
Not really, no way.
Yeah. But they're flying in what a lot of them call creation. It's almost like having a near-death experience. And they're flying in that energy field, you might say.
James, do you think that if you had not had your near-death experience, you would be so sensitive to the world that you deal in?
You know, when I was a child, I was extremely sensitive and very, pretty much telepathic. I could feel, you know, what people were thinking mm-hmm. and things of that nature. My parents actually used me a lot of times when they had friends, if they're going into business dealings, they'd introduce me to them, and I'd just tell them, I don't like this person. And sure enough, they ended up trying to screw them down the road. But what happened is I lost that ability when I started moving into social consciousness and trying to make my mark in the world.
Yeah.
And, you know, through the regular school systems and everything, that gets really beaten down or tampered down again. And then the near-death experience brought me back to that inner sensitivity I had as a child, but it seemed to have even accelerated about, you know, fivefold, even beyond what I had as a child.
When you had your near-death experience, did you have the life review? Did you see the deity on the other side? Can you tell us about it?
What happened with me is I had several when I was a child. I had bronchial pneumonia, and I kept going in between worlds. And I had a being that was dressed in blue, and she had electric blue eyes, just beautiful. And she came to me and appeared to me and would stroke my head and feed me this substance that was kind of this, like ice cream, but it wasn't cold. And they told my parents I was going to die several times, and you know, this lady would appear to me and I'd be fine the next day. It was kind of strange, but that was my first experience. And then the second one, when I drowned and had the drowning, I went through the tunnel that everybody talks about. And it's all, we just put out a brand new movie that's theater quality. It's called Contact Has Begun with James Gillen, and it has the whole death experience in there. And just incredible special effects, exactly what happened to me in the experience. But I went through this tunnel very fast. I saw a lot of levels that I just blasted through, and I think I was already prepared before I went. And I didn't stop for a light review. I ended up in this just pure golden light that was pure consciousness and energy. And I was in the light, and part of the light. I was unique, yet I was one with the light at the same time. It's hard to explain. You're unique, yet one.
Mm-hmm.
And I was having a conversation with this just incredibly loving, joyous, blissful consciousness and energy is all I can call it, that some would call God. You know, everybody has a different name for it. But it, you know, didn't have a form. It was just pure consciousness and energy, you might say. It was like a golden white light that I was part of. And I had a long conversation there with this consciousness. And what was funny is the first thing I said was, how can I stay? And there was a transmission came back to me, and it said, I never told my children when to come or go. That's free will. And then I asked again, you know, how can I earn the right to stay? And it said, you know, you cannot earn what is given freely and unconditionally. And I went to a Catholic school when I was a young kid, and so I had to totally drop this program of, you know, this wrathful God and, you know, with all these judgments and condemnations.
Yeah.
I had to let go of that program. And then after that, I was so blissed out and so grateful. I said, what can I do? How can I serve? And I just wanted to give something back. And for a while there was no comment. And then finally it came back to me and said, what do you want to do? What brings you joy? And I said, you know, I'd really like to go back and teach people about the true nature of God and get rid of these old images, that fearful, you know, unworthy, judging images that people, you know, have that keep them separate from God. And the last words I heard were, as you wish, and that's actually what I named my radio show. It's called As You Wish Talk Radio, because that was the last words I heard, and I was back in the body again, and somebody's pulling me up out of the water.
Unreal. Stand by, James. You and I have to take a commercial break with the news. James Gilliland is our special guest, www.eceti.org. My name's Rob McConnell. This is the X Zone on the Talkstar Radio Network. 1-877-528-8255 is toll free throughout the U.S., Canada, Alaska, and Hawaii. And we'll be back on the other side of this break as we continue live and around the world from our studios in Hamilton, Ontario, Canada. Don't go away. James Gilliland is our special guest. www.eceti.org. All right, James, how many different type of UFOs or spirit communication or orbs or shadow people are people encountering all the time now? And why now? Why at this time in this planet's history is all this going on?
you know, it's my understanding that the consciousness in which you speak is the consciousness in which you connect. And a lot of people are focusing here, they're focusing there, and wherever they focus, they have that experience, and that experience is being empowered greatly by this consciousness and energy that, you know, again, it just says, as you wish, that's all. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like whatever you seek, you're going to experience. And, you know, we magnetize people and events to us according to our consciousness, and that's why everybody's having these different experiences. They're experiencing the vibrational lifting differently, you know, according to each consciousness, you might say. So we are going through a major shift, you know, a major vibrational change, you might say, or a frequency shift, and people are going to experience it differently. As far as the UFO field, I've seen, what I find really interesting is people are keeping it, you know, in the past, or they're focusing on nuts and bolts, and, you know, that's less than 1% of the universe that we live in. There's another 99% out there. And when we develop ourselves spiritually, we can start having contact with some just outrageous beings that I would rather call them the greater family of man, or a lot of them are our ancient ancestors that are returning, that are coming back right now for these times. But everybody pigeonholes this for some reason into these little grays, you know, with black eyes or reptiles or black projects. But that's just a very small piece of the puzzle.
Tell me, James, where are our ancestors coming back from?
They're coming from several systems, and they're actually coming in from other dimensions as well. And sometimes they'll give us a system because it's the only reference point we have. You know, they'll say like Arcturus or whatever, because that's the area where they come from, but it's from a whole other dimension. So a lot of times we don't even have reference points for these, but a lot of people don't realize that the Earth was actually a colony. It was set up a long, long time ago, and it was colonized. And it's gone through some major upheavals and changes, and we've had to start over as primitives. And we lost that knowledge, that ancient wisdom. And, you know, actually we're starting to evolve back to where we once were. It's not a matter of, we actually took a big fall in consciousness and in technology and wisdom, and now we're actually coming up to that same epic again, where we're going to make a choice on whether we do ourselves in, or we take a quantum leap in consciousness and evolve to the next level.
Is that what the true meaning of the end of the Mayan calendar is?
I think there's so many different levels to that. It's tied in with the sun cycle, mm-hmm. and we are going through a solar cycle 24, which is going to be intense. That's going to be hitting here all the way up to 2012 and peak then. And so we're going to have some enormous coronal mass ejections and sun flares hitting the planet.
Yep.
You know, that's going to create a lot of Earth changes as well. So we're going to see a lot of shifts and changes on every level, as well as eventually I think it's going to culminate into a dimensional shift where a lot of people will just, you know, make this major jump into a whole new world, you might say, or another dimension.
So when we're talking about the Earth changes that are coming up, and, you know, science is telling us that, you know, we're going through a cycle, that this is part of what we do every so often. Mm-hmm. Why now are people starting to worry? And there's a lot of doom and gloom people out there that are saying, all right, it's the end of the world, the apocalypse, Armageddon. Why do we have to look at something that is natural, as our spiritual progression to me is natural, and always add a negative connotation to it?
It just depends how you look at it. You know, I see everybody as an eternal soul, and we're just here for soul evolution. And some people are going to, you know, generate experiences that might, you know, take them out, and some people see that as a very negative thing. You know, I really don't, because they are eternal souls, and they'll continue with their evolution. There's two things people fear the most, and that's, you know, the unknown and change. And so automatically, you know, they don't know what's coming, and they know there's going to be change.
I must be weird, because I look forward to that.
Yeah, you're like me. I do, too.
Yeah, that excites me.
Yeah, it does me, too. I'm excited about it. I'm going, let her rip. You know?
Oh, my God, I'm not alone. I'm not alone. Thank you, James, for saying that. I was starting to worry there.
It's a good thing. What's underneath these changes is awesome, and once the Earth gets cleaned up and on another frequency, we're going to reunite with the rest of the universe, and it's worth sticking around for because it's just going to be an awesome event that we are going to have to prepare, you know, in between.
These are exciting times we're in.
Yeah, there's an old saying, gods don't do boring things.
I'm using the analogy these days where we, the human race on this planet, are to Mother Earth as a disease is to a healthy body.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the original intent for the Earth was to create an Eden and for us to live in harmony with each other and nature and evolve to our highest potential.
Boy, did we ever screw that up.
Yeah, and we got hijacked, you know, by several different groups. But the original intent got hijacked, and then the Earth changes and cataclysms and everything kind of put a damper on that program. But from my understanding is that things are going to be reset here on a much deeper level, on an inner level, and there's going to be things, energies moving through the unified field, and we're actually on this reset program where we are going to be moving back to the original intent, and you'll see the things that can't align with that coming up to the surface and, you know, becoming very transparent for everybody to see it on their way out.
It seems as if the building plan was set before us in early times, and we totally misconstrued what it meant, and we wrote it into different religions, different philosophies, and we never got the real message.
You know, it is sad. You know, there are universal truths within every religion, but it's sad over the years that religions and governments have divided so many people and caused so many great wars, and, you know, everybody's fighting over which image or which doctrine is the correct one. You know, and the bottom line is we all came from the same source, and we all return to the same source, and we're all family down here, and we need to, you know, get into maybe the quantum physics that's coming out that talks about this unified field where everything's connected, and start dropping these old, you know, programs. And, you know, the higher beings are saying we have to release the past. That's the most important thing right now, is we have to dump the old programs, the old wounds and traumas.
What we have to do is go back to our childhood and be like kids in a playground. You go to a playground, any playground in any part of this beautiful world of ours, and you watch children. They get into little tiffs, they get it off their chest, and they're the best buddies in the world.
Mm-hmm. You go to a playground and you'll see every kid, every color, every race, you know, every belief.
That's right.
Playing in harmony with each other, and then we pull them off the playground and we jam them into these institutions, and then all of a sudden they find out that, you know, that they can't play with little Johnny because he's another color or another religion, and they get all this negative programming.
Well, you know, I was truly blessed as a child. My mom and dad, you know, we lived in the part of Montreal that was a melting pot of every ethnic origin you could imagine. And I'll tell you something, this is where I spent my formative years, growing up with these different ethnic groups, these different religions, and this was part of life. You know, you celebrated the Jewish holidays, you partook in the Italian celebrations, you celebrated with your Greek friends and your French Canadian friends and your Irish friends, your Polish friends, your Ukrainian friends, and this was part of life. There was no such thing back then as you know, ethnic differences or religious differences. These were friends, and you respected them and they respected you.
You know, the diversity is necessary for soul evolution, and nobody knows what another soul needs for evolution. So we need this diversity. We can honor the diversity, but still stick to the basics.
Certainly.
You know, brother, sister, love, and freedom for all, you know, and just get the basics down. And then if you want to go study religion, try that. But I always tell people, let's really work on being a decent human being first, and then we can go play with the other, you know, curriculum.
Sure, because what one person does in their lifetime affects not only their lifetime, but everyone else's lifetime, and this has a ripple effect throughout the universe.
Oh, it's definitely. I think that's why a lot of these other beings are here right now. A lot of the Pleiadian beings and the Orion Council of Light that's coming in right now, and the Arcturians, and all these guys are coming in right now because, you know, there's a big ripple here. There's a real distortion in the force, and we're it.
That's right.
And they want to kind of help us get through these challenging times. And there are some here there are some low-level contacts. They're here for their own agendas, but they're far and few between compared to the higher beings. And I think the more we initiate and ask for help and focus on the world we want to create, the more we're going to draw these other higher beings in to assist us and turn this planet around.
I have to ask you this, James. If there was a time in the future where a nuclear exchange was going to happen, do you think that we would get the intervention?
It won't happen. It affects too many other realms, not just our civilization, but it affects other civilizations and other realms as well.
Divine intervention is what I was looking for. Do you think
they definitely won't allow that. They made it very clear that, you know, we can go so far with our war games and our aggressions and our you know, scams is what they really are, you know. Money scams, but they said they'll let us go so far with those, but there's a limit, and when they start affecting too many innocent people, they'll step in, and I think they're already starting to step in, but we're just not, you know, they're not showing up physically with their craft and participating in the wars. That's not the way they do things. They work on more of a consciousness level, and they work with establishing a higher grid around the earth and tearing down the old program, the old grid.
Out with the old, in with the new.
Exactly. They're very good at working with consciousness and energy and setting things into motion and establishing patterns and then allowing that to unfold.
Where do you think, or what do you anticipate our next level of evolution will be?
Well, what I see is that the Earth is going to go through a major house cleaning. Mm-hmm. And it's just not physical house cleaning. It's going to happen on every level. It's going to be, you know, mental, emotional, spiritual. Every level is going to go through a major cleaning. And when we get to a certain level, I think we're going to take a quantum leap in consciousness, and then we're going to open up to, you know, the other dimensions, some of the fourth, fifth dimensional experiences. And after that, when we get our heads on right, then we'll be given the technologies that can totally restore the planet, end disease, all of these things. Some of them are on the planet right now, but we have forces out there that have pretty much killed the inventors, you know, or the people that have brought this information in. But we have to do something to eliminate this other force. I call it tyranny, and it has a consciousness. And actually it is being, in a way, targeted. I don't want to say targeted, but the higher consciousness and energy and the old grid on which they operate is being torn down. So their world is coming to a close, and it's folding in on itself. And you know, the new world is coming behind it.
Sounds a lot like something that we'd see in a Star Trek movie.
Yeah, pretty much. You know, what's interesting is the good guys you probably aren't going to see unless you rise to the occasion. You know, you'll see the outcome of the work that they're doing, but you won't.
They like working behind the scenes.
Exactly, and you don't really see them unless you've earned it in a way. But recently, they are showing their ships a lot more, and you know, just in San Diego, their fleets are starting to fly over San Diego. And
really?
They're all over Mexico. It's unbelievably, there's hundreds and hundreds of ships flying over Mexico.
Who'd ever think that aliens from another world like Mexican food?
Yeah.
I wonder if there's a Taco Bell somewhere out there in the universe besides here.
Well, there's
planet.
A lot of temples there. There's a lot of ancient pyramids and some pretty amazing.
Let's talk about this when we come back, James. James Gilliland is our very special guest. His website is www.eceti.org. James and I will be back on the other side of this break as the X-Zone continues live and around the world and even in outer space on the Talkstar Radio Network. Don't go away. Don't forget, X-Zone Nation, that the X-Zone Book Club is starting up soon, and the first book in the club selection is going to be Color Me Butterfly by L.Y. Marlowe. If you'd like to get your copy of Color Me Butterfly, it's available on Amazon.com and at all major bookstores. And L.Y. Marlowe's website is www.colormebutterfly.com. If you'd like to become a member of the X-Zone Book Club, visit www.xzonebookclub.net. James Gilliland is our special guest, www.ecti.org. First of all, James, thank you very much for joining us tonight. Great having you back here on the X-Zone. And to you and yours, a happy new year.
Oh, thank you. Back at you.
Okay, now I have to ask you this. Since you and I last talked, has anyone within NASA said, "All right, guys, you're right. You know, there are UFOs, there are ETs visiting this planet," or is NASA still taking the old stand that nope?
You know, we've had NASA here. Actually, they've come here and they have their own group that they send out wherever there's UFO hotspots to investigate, but they're not going to share it, you know, unfortunately. But I think it's time. A lot of the people in NASA, I mean, there are some really good people in NASA.
Yes, there are.
And they have, you know, NSA, which covers everything. You can't, anything concerning UFOs won't be released. It has to go through them.
Mm-hmm.
But there's people inside NASA that are leaking all this information, and they have incredible footage of UFOs and you name it. Everything we've sent up has been watched and, you know, it's been trailed by UFOs. So, you know, they're very aware of it. The footage is there, and a lot of it's being leaked out. There's stuff on the moon. You know, they found crashes on the moon and all kinds of archaeology there.
I have to ask you this. When do you think, given your best guesstimate, that undeniable evidence will be made on a global basis that these UFOs are real?
Well, it's hard to say undeniable evidence because there are those that no matter what you do, they'll deny it. You know, even if they show ships appear right in front of their face, they'll still go into denial.
Mm-hmm.
So I think the masses right now, there's a very high percentage of people believe in UFOs. I even saw a Time CNN report a while ago that had like an 86% report, people saying they do believe in UFOs and there is a government cover-up. So I think the cover-up is a total failure. They might as well just give it up. But the sightings are going to increase, and, you know, after Fife Simonton, you know, the governor of Arizona came forward and talked about what he really saw and that they were off-world crap. They were nothing he's ever seen. You know, these other people are all starting to come forward now, and it's just a matter of time. But the real disclosure is going to come from the skies. Pretty soon there's going to be so many ships in the skies because of the upcoming Earth changes that they're here to assist us with. It's going to be undeniable, and definitely before 2012, but I would say more like in the next 6 months or so, there's just going to be some major events happening where people are going to be seeing these ships.
James, we've run out of time tonight. We'll have you back on in 6 months so that we can discuss what's happening in the skies overhead. How does that sound?
Sounds great.
James, take care of yourself, my friend. Thanks very much for joining us, and continued success.
Oh, thank you so much for having me on.
Take care, James. James Gilliland, www.ecti.org. When we come back from the news at the top of the hour, open mic with yours truly, Rob McConnell, and my producer, the one and only Superman. We're going to be asking you, the X-Zone Nation, if there are so many new researchers out there investigating ghosts, hauntings, UFOs, alien abductions, Bigfoot, Loch Ness Monster, whatever, how come nobody's brought back any proof yet? The numbers are increasing and the evidence is decreasing. We'll be asking you this question on the other side of the news right here.